This is Helen Cannon with another installment of Petals and Prose. And today I've been thinking about gardens in letters, epistolary gardens. Legendary editor at The New Yorker during the first 34 years, Catherine S. White was also a great garden enthusiast. In March 1958, she began publishing her popular column, Onward and Upward in the Garden. Her first column elicited loads of fan mail, but one letter in particular caught her attention. From Elizabeth Lawrence, a noted Southern garden writer, it was filled with suggestions and encouragement. When Catherine wrote back her appreciation, she reported on her main garden and discussed plants and books that interested her. Thus began a correspondence that would last for almost 20 years until Catherine's death in 1977. The book, Two Gardeners, is a collection of these luminous letters. The letters bring to life the unique epistolary friendship between two intelligent women, both of them avid gardeners and readers. Both at a stage of life when to make a new friend was rare indeed. When they first wrote to one another, Catherine was 62, Elizabeth 54. More than 150 letters went back and forth during the course of their correspondence, and they would never meet face to face. So the first fan letter from Elizabeth Lawrence to Catherine White is as follows. And I should say that gardeners are often good letter writers, and whether they write to describe what's blooming today or to remember a flower from childhood, their letters are efforts to preserve memories of gardens. Marianne Moore, the poet, wrote in her poetry that poetry should have imaginary gardens with real toads in them. And so this is in that vein, imaginary gardens with real toads in them. And this is the first fan letter from Elizabeth Lawrence to Catherine White. Dear Mrs. White, I'm very grateful to Joseph Mitchell's sister for calling my attention to your story about the catalogs. Our New Yorker is a family affair, and it sometimes gets under somebody's bed before anyone else sees it, and I sometimes miss the very thing I would have liked best. I not only enjoyed the article, I profited from the advice, and I am particularly glad to know about roses of yesterday and today. I don't know how I managed to garden for nearly 50 years without hearing of Will Tilson, but I did. It is a principle with me never to pay for catalogs, but I gladly sent the Honorable Secretary 50 cents just for the Lady Carolyn Howard. But do you know Roy Hennessy? And you shouldn't miss Cecil Hoydeschel's little brochures twice a year. I think he's in his 90s now, so you better hurry. He always begins, Dear Flora Friends. One issue has a picture of him with his great-grandchild. One of his letters offered a litter of cocker puppies for sale. In his spring 1957 issue, he says he plans to live to be 100 but will settle for 97. And as he had two grandparents who lived to be that old and uncles and aunts who lived longer, he thinks he has a good chance. I have all of them, the catalogs. The last 22 years, one was missing, but I sent a dime and got it and consider them among my treasures. One of the interesting things in that catalog is to see how a gardener's taste changes from year to year. Irises, then daylilies, then African violets, then orchids. But always the amaryllids, and always some bulb that you can't get anywhere else. But my favorite of all is Park's flower book, Park Seed Company, Greenwood, South Carolina. The new ones are on slick paper with the same color photographs that are in all the catalogs, but they can't compare with the old line drawing ones. But the first page still carries in a little box. It used to have quaint little floral design around the edge, but now just a black line. A prayer by John Henry Jowett about God's love and beauty, and at the bottom emphasized by an arrow. It used to be a hand with a fancy cuff and a pointing finger. My friends, are these your sentiments? If not, why not? George W. Park. It still has a picture in the left-hand corner of George W. Park, founder, 1852 to 1935, the date of the founding, 1868, and a quotation from Emerson and an adorable cut of a boy in a sailor suit and hat rolling a wheelbarrow, bursting with flowers while a little girl holds a parasol over him. And beneath, "Yes, sister, I buy only Park. His seeds always grow and yield the finest flowers." Mr. Park, one of the catalogs said, is a descendant of John Knox, and he looks like it. His two sons, usually pictured, have the same grim mouth, but they have their mother's eyes. A picture of Mrs. Park in the balance wheel of the 1947 catalog, in which George B. Park is now president, pays tribute to a heroine from real life, my mother, a God-fearing woman. She doesn't look as fearful as the men of the family. During the war, Brother William W.J. Park, grower, and I were in service, and she carried on alone of the Park family, sometimes worked 16 hours a day to get your orders to you on time. She really did get them there. They usually come by return mail. Until the war, all seeds were 10 cents a package, 11 for a dollar. Mr. Park said most people wanted only a few of a kind, and there was no wasting them, so he just put them in smaller packages. A jumbo was a quarter, still is, but the small ones are now 15 cents, 15 for $2, 40 for $5. You can save by ordering for your friends if you don't need that many. Then she concludes the letter thanking Mrs. White and asks, "I asked Mrs. Lamb if you were Mrs. E.B. White, and she said you were. So please tell Mr. E.B. that he has three generations of devoted readers in my family. My mother's favorites were the one about leaving the mirror in the apartment vestibule and the one about homemade bread, but my niece adores Charlotte's Web. Sincerely, Elizabeth Lawrence." And so Catherine White responds to this lovely fan letter on June 4th, 1958. "Dear Miss Lawrence, it was delightful to get your letter, so full of interesting and helpful suggestions about garden catalogs. I had already caught up too late with that of George W. Park Seed Company, and I admire it, but of course I've only seen the latest. Your descriptions of the earlier Park Seed book make my mouth water, and I wish I had some of them. I shall send right off for Cecil Houdeshell's brochures and for some other catalogs you mentioned. I already have one copy of the Barnhaven catalog, which is charming, but I can't raise primroses. They make my hands break out. I go on accumulating catalogs of every sort, though, in the hope that someday I may get time and good ideas to write another catalog review. But it is quite likely I never shall. Your suggestions will spur me on, if anything could. But I am an editor, not a writer. Of course, as a gardener, I'm a rank amateur, and very disorganized because I have so little time and strength for it. I gave your messages to my husband, who is most grateful for them. Joe Mitchell is one of our favorite friends and writers, and I was happy to hear he recommended my review to his sister and she to you. I consider any recommendation from Joe a great honor. Sincerely yours, Catherine S. White. P.S. I have only just now heard of your garden book, and I plan to send to the North Carolina Press for it." This correspondence continues for 21 years, over 150 letters that are charming, that deal with gardens and flowers and the incidents in ordinary lives. This is Helen Cannon with Petals and Prose.